Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar O'Duchon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalised view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. Hello, and welcome back to the show. My name is Dr. Oscar O'Duchon. I'm a retired family GP with 30 years practice and experience both in the UK and Ireland. I'm now presenting this show on Ayurveda, the Science of Life. I've studied Ayurveda over the last number of years with the Ayurvedic Institute of UK and completed a diploma in Ayurvedic Lifestyle and Nutrition and a diploma in Ayurvedic Practitioner. I work as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, and I'm also a health and wellness coach. I'm passionate about Ayurveda and the role it can play in improving people's health through tailored digestive nutritional advice, lifestyle modifications, and also I also teach Ayurveda through educational workshops in local community groups. My desire and passion is to help people learn about a system of medicine which can empower them to take control of their health. The key to better health is self-awareness of our body and mind and the factors that can cause us to become imbalanced and unwell. This is what Ayurveda teaches us more effectively than any other system of medicine. Ayurveda is the original lifestyle medicine and gives us a greater understanding of how we can achieve our best health to prevent illness and disease. Ayurveda views human health like a beautifully balanced ecosystem. It believes that every element within us, from the cells and tissues to the organs and the systems, are interconnected. And when all these parts work in harmony, we experience optimum health and vitality. So today, what will I cover in the show? Well, in today's episode, I will discuss the crucial Ayurvedic concept of what's called Agni, which is spelled A-G-N-I, which means our digestive fire, and how it controls our health and well-being and ultimately our natural balance. Now, when we speak of digestive fire, we have quite a broad definition of what that means. I'll also cover what happens when it malfunctions or gets out of balance. And I will also discuss simple things you can do to improve or balance your Agni or your digestive fire or the strength of your digestion. In the second half of the show, I will also discuss how Ayurveda views the qualities of the mind and how they mirror the tridoshic concepts of the physical doshas of Vata, Pitta and Kapha, which I spoke about in the previous show. And I'll also discuss how they can move out of balance and affect our psychological and our emotional health, indeed our mental state. I will also discuss some practices you can try to help develop healthy habits for the mind, to cultivate clarity of thinking and calmness and peace of mind overall. But first, let's talk about our digestive fire. Now, this is what you might regard as a guide to our digestive fire are really how to boost your gut health from an Ayurvedic perspective. In this part of the show, I will discuss what's called the Jathar Agni, which is a long name for the total Agni or digestion system we refer to in Ayurveda. I will aim to demystify the whole concept of digestive fire, exploring what it is, any signs of the imbalance, and simple Ayurvedic techniques to stimulate your Agni or enhance your Agni and to boost your gut health. So first of all, this is a commonly spoken of concept in Ayurveda called the Jathar Agni. And this essentially is translated from the Sanskrit, where Agni means fire. However, in the context of Ayurveda, the concept or the term Jathar Agni is not just any fire, but the digestive fire that's present in your intestines. We've often heard the phrase, he's got fire in his belly. That is a term we use to describe somebody who's hot-headed, who's got a very strong pitta dosha dominant in their presentation. It also applies to your digestive tract. This is the metabolic fire that we need for digesting our food and converting it into energy, which we need to perform the vital life activities like breathing, moving, thinking, basically every everyday activity. Ayurveda considers a balanced state of Agni or digestive fire as essential for good digestion and overall health. And this is a key concept in Ayurveda. So how does our Jathar Agni, our collective digestive fire, affect our body? In Ayurveda, the harmony of digestive fire enables us to absorb nutrients from our food and to eliminate any waste products. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. This intricate balance of our digestive fire is predominantly controlled by the three doshas, Vata, Pitta and Kapha. And even though Pitta is the one we think of with regards to our digestive fire, Vata and Pitta also have a role to play. Both our physical and mental processes, which include our digestion and our metabolism. Metabolism is the process of change of what happens to our food, the transformation from when we ingest it to when it's broken down to when it's absorbed and carried to the different parts of our body and tissues. So as a result, if any one of these doshas or energies are disturbed or become stagnant or reduced or increased, it can destabilize or upset our digestive fire. Mentioning digestive fire, our Agni, because we want to get the concept that digestion isn't just a static process, it's an ongoing active process which requires regulation, which requires our doshas to be balanced properly. And this is something we'll return to again and again. So when our digestive fire, our Agni, is either too low or too high, it fails to operate optimally and causes a buildup of what's called ama, which is an Ayurvedic term for toxins that can build up within our body, within our tissues, and can locate to specific organs depending. This imbalance can lead to physical discomfort, potential health complications, and even disease. These symptoms will usually present as gut-related problems, such as indigestion, bloating, abdominal cramps, constipation, diarrhea, but they may present separately as symptoms in other parts of the body without all of those gut symptoms first. And quite often the gut symptoms are not a big problem for us. We kind of tend to ignore them or live with them, but they may mask an underlying problem that could get worse. So if we understand that our Agni, our digestive fire, also extends beyond our physical digestion, this is a really important concept. It also sustains our emotional and mental health by helping us digest thoughts and feelings and overall cultivating a positive mindset in processing our emotions and experiences. How often have we heard the phrase, when we are faced with a difficult problem or decision we have to make. I must take some time to digest that, or I must sleep on it. These are ways that we describe a process of digestion, not just applying to a physical side of our body, but to a psychological or mental side of our body. Now, in Ayurveda, there are four types of Agni, or four described types of Japaragni, or digestive fire. This has been observed by the Ayurvedic scholars from the distant past, that Japaragni is the root of our metabolism. It nourishes and balances our Agni, or digestive fire, throughout our body. So these four variations have four different names, and they correspond roughly with the different doshas. There is one called Vishama, another called Tikshna, another called Manda. And basically they correlate with an erratic digestion, a very hot and fiery digestion, and a very slow and sluggish digestion. The state of Sama, S-A-M-A, which is a balanced Agni, is the goal we all try to reach. And this is a key to your overall health and well-being if you have a balanced and well-regulated and well-functioning Agni or digestive fire. Now, these variations, as I said, correspond to the three doshas, and they determine our unique state of digestion and metabolism at that moment in time. And also within our natural constitution, because some of us have different types of digestion. It's just an example of us being unique and different from each other. So understanding how these work and how they can be different presentations of your digestive fire is a key to our overall health and well-being. If we describe the first one, which is Vishamagni, it's linked to the Vata dosha, which represents movement and change, like I discussed in the previous episode. This type of digestion is the most unpredictable and is caused by too much air or ether within the body. Anybody who experiences this type of digestive fire or an erratic digestion experience variable digestion and irregular metabolism, and they have common symptoms like gas, bloating, fatigue and constipation. The second type of Agni is called a Tikshna Agni. And Tikshna is the Sanskrit word for hot or heating. And this is like a bonfire. It's like a raging bonfire type of digestion. It is associated with Pitta, which we know controls the heat and any processes that involve transformation or change within the body. It is the result of too much fire or too much water in the body, or too little water. This causes intense and fast digestion. If you have a Tikshna Agni kind of habit or characterization, you will feel insatiable hunger and eat more often. Heartburn and diarrhea are common signs of overheated digestive fire. Heartburn and diarrhea. And often symptoms that are associated with the upper part of your gut. The last type of Agni associated with the doshas would be called the Manda Agni, which would mean a slow or sluggish digestion, which is typically caused by a kapha imbalance and is associated with the kapha dosha. Those with this type of digestive fire of Manda Agni feel sluggish and tired after eating, as the body is slow to digest and extract energy from food. Along with the poor appetite and digestion, it can cause physical symptoms such as coughing, congestion, fatigue and nausea, and general overall lethargy. As I explained earlier, the ideal condition of a balanced digestive fire is called Sama Agni, S-A-M-A, and it's the ideal state of digestion. It's like everything is working just about right, like the Goldilocks moment with the porridge. Everything is just about the right temperature, not too hot, not too cold. And this is the goal that we all strive to reach with optimal digestion. It's a sign that our doshas within us are balanced and we have a healthy digestion, which is a key part of eating healthy and life. You feel hungry when it's time to eat, you digest your food well without any discomfort, and you maintain good energy levels throughout the day. So your body systems are working in perfect harmony in relation to your digestion. So that's probably enough for now. I'll come back in the next part of the show to discuss ways we can balance our digestive fire. So see you very shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. Today I'm discussing the key concept in Ayurveda, which is the Agni, our digestive fire. And briefly, I have discussed how important and crucial it is to our overall health and well-being, and that it doesn't just involve a physical type of digestion, but there's also a mental, psychological digestion that occurs as well, which I'll cover in the final stages of the show. I have discussed the different types of Agni that we can experience, from the erratic type of digestion, which is irregular, the heating, the over-hot, raging fire type of digestion, which is almost set too high, and then the opposite type, which is like a very slow and sluggish digestion. And we can all experience and relate to this at different times in our lives, even at different times during the day. Now, the idea is to have a balanced Agni where everything is working just about right and is not overheating or working too hard or, shall we say, over slow and sluggish, where it's not digesting properly. We want to get it just about right with our digestion. That requires a degree of thinking and contemplation, as well as being careful about our food choices and how we eat. So this is the point where I try to explain how we can balance our digestive fire. Now, in Ayurveda, there's a popular saying that you are what you digest, not what you eat. And we've often heard this in the common vernacular, colloquial phrases, that we are what we eat. Now, this means that even if we consume very nutritious food, if our digestion is weak, we may not be able to fully benefit from the nutrients it provides. And the opposite may well be true as well. If you think of the holy men in India who take themselves away from society, and they eat and drink very little, yet they've done studies on them and find that they do not, their blood results and their physical condition is not as bad as one would imagine, because they have a strong digestion even though they're not eating very much or drinking very much. So this, I know, is an extreme example. But it illustrates the point that it's not just important what you eat, it's important how you digest, perhaps even more so. So by aligning our eating habits, our keeping and our habits and our lifestyle with the principles and teachings of Ayurveda and the holistic nutritional approach that it takes, the idea is that we could control our digestive fire and enhance our overall health accordingly. All right? So these are just a few simple tips. You may have heard of some of them before, but I'll explain a little how they work and how they can work. Firstly, early wake up is something that is really important. We need to wake up with the sun as much as possible within the cycles of the circadian daily rhythm that we're all influenced by. So Ayurveda has taught and suggested rising early in the morning, ideally around sunrise if possible, is beneficial for our overall health and well-being. This is, as I said, because our bodies are attuned with nature and our digestive fire needs to be stoked up in the morning. So the earlier we get it up, the easier it is to do that. And often I find people complain that they never feel hungry in the morning. And it's either a case of them eating too late, not sleeping well, or waking up too late and not having time to develop an appetite. So by waking up early and practicing some activities, like some movement activities, such as in yoga, they have the sun salutations, which are simple movement sequences, which you can practice, making lasting for 15, 20 minutes or even less if necessary. You can stimulate and strengthen your digestion. In other words, get an appetite and get yourself ready to be to have a meal first thing in the morning, or as soon as you can in the morning. As you're ready. So eat your biggest meal while the sun is at its highest. This is a commonly repeated advice in Ayurveda. So the idea is that our digestion is at its peak when the sun is at its peak. So if you think about the heat of the sun, the heat of our digestion, it would stand to reason that our digestive fire is strongest during the middle part of the day. We often feel our hungriest at midday, when our digestion is at its maximum. And quite often we'll have a lunch or a snack rather than having our biggest meal in the middle of the day. So this is something that is very difficult to explain to patients or to clients, but for them to take on board. But it's probably one of the simplest fixes we can make, is to flip around our biggest meal from being in the evening time to being in the afternoon. At lunchtime. So just like the sun in nature, we follow the same patterns within our natural daily rhythm. So later in the day, our evening and the evening times, our digestion and our digestive fire is reducing in its intensity. And this is quite often the time we need to force ourselves to eat. Late dinner, for instance, or social dining, or eating under pressure. So eating when the sun is up at its highest ensures our bodies can break down and absorb the nutrients from our food, because that's when our digestion is at its maximum. Another thing I've mentioned before is the concept of the six tastes in Ayurveda. And ideally, every meal should have as many of these six tastes included in its preparation. And I appreciate this is not always easy to do with time constraints and meal choices we have to make. Because each of the different tastes corresponds to a different physiological function. So it has a function within the body, how the food is absorbed, how the food is transported and carried, how the food reaches the distance parts of the body. Each of the tastes are involved in these processes. So by incorporating all the six tastes, we can ensure balance in our digestive process overall. So always try and add the six tastes where you can, using herbs and spices, like I mentioned in the last episode. And even if it comes to using pickles or condiments or chutneys or even a splash of lime or olive oil on a meal after you've prepared your meal, or using freshly ground spices such as pepper at the end of cooking. And these are quick ways we can introduce tastes that are missing in the meal to complement our to ensure that we have all six tastes in our food. Sweet foods, for instance, can be nourishing, while bitter foods are often detoxifying. So they have different roles within our body during the digestion process. So, as I said before, including all the six tastes, which are the sweet, sour and salty, bitter, pungent and astringent, will ensure that your body is receiving a variety of tastes and nutrients to ensure a balanced diet and a balanced digestion more than anything. As I said, worth repeating again, it helps the nutrients be absorbed from the gut, incorporating all the six tastes, and that these nutrients are then absorbed by the different layers of tissues and into the body organs, into the distant parts of the body from the gut. So it's really important for this incorporating the six tastes to have a well-rounded nourishment which enhances our digestive health and helps to complete, it helps the body with all the processes that it has to undergo during the day. A fourth thing to remember is the use of herbs and spices. I'm repeating myself, I'm afraid, but it's also so important to say this again. Herbs and spices not only add flavor to your meals, but they have medicinal properties, either taken alone in remedies, like I've discussed before, or taken in conjunction with your meals. Many of them, like ginger, cinnamon, black pepper, and mint, they have an enhancing or a promoting effect on your digestive fire, so they can enhance the digestive fire if it's required, like fine-tuning it as well in some ways and for particular problems of digestion. And they can relieve problems of digestion if taken in the appropriate amounts. It's also important to forge healthy eating habits that align with your specific dosha type of your particular constitution. Or if you have any current imbalance, you may need to change your eating habits accordingly. But really, in this case, you would need to see a practitioner for further advice, because it can be difficult to figure out by yourself. A fifth thing to remember is to stay active. That regular exercise strengthens your Agni, your digestive fire. And we all can appreciate that when we exercise, our appetite improves, our digestion improves, our digestion is more acute. We feel we need to eat more, we get a stronger digestion and desire to eat. So that really, you just will not get hungry if you're binge watching box sets on the sofa. That's or if you do get hungry, you'll tend to choose the wrong types of food, which exacerbates the problem further. Now, this doesn't mean you have to run a marathon or be extremely extremely strenuous exercise. Even a gentle activity like a walk, a short walk, or a little bit of yoga, even some meditation or some rest time is can help you maintain a good digestion and a good digestive fire. Yoga is particularly useful because there are specific movements and actions that are recommended that can improve your digestion. This idea of your peristalsis or your gut contraction, which is important for elimination of waste as well. Even just a gentle exercise, either usually before your meal, but even a short walk, 10 or 15 minutes after a meal, can be useful for your digestion. Another really important thing, which goes without saying, is that to ensure you get good quality sleep. Sleep is really important because it's when your body goes into kind of repair mode, like a reprogramming type of mode, which also includes metabolizing and detoxifying that occurs even after you've finished eating and your digestion you think is concluded. So a consistent sleep pattern of good quality sleep, 7-8 hours is usually sufficient for most people, even 6 for some people. But it gives the body enough time to perform these functions of repair, of detoxifying, of processing that needs to go on in the body during your sleep. If you struggle to fall asleep, there are some gentle yoga postures and poses and practices, particularly a yin yoga practice, which is the restful posture-based practice rather than a movement-based practice, which can help. Or using simple meditative practices for promoting rest and for preparing yourself for sleep. A few other simple tips are to not drink any cold water with your meals. This can be harmful to your Agni and can reduce your digestive fire. Lukewarm water is perfectly fine. Portion sizes are always a question I get asked, but if you can put the food that you're going to eat into just about the size of both your palms and hands, So you can just find the matching plate size that will fit that. You'll be eating just about the right amount of food for your constitution. And eat mindfully with awareness. This is probably one of the most important things. We often eat in a distracted manner. We are either watching the television or scrolling on our phone. And this is definitely one of the worst habits we have developed for our digestion. If it helps, I find saying a prayer or a mantra, a short blessing, just to get yourself into the right frame of mind for your meals. And this includes all meals, even the smallest snack. And it's important to be mindful and eat with awareness and eat consciously so that you're having a relationship with your food. You're not just eating mindlessly. It has to be beneficial for your digestion. Your body then is becoming more aware that now is the time to eat and it's not being distracted by other things. So no phones, TV, laptop, put them away. Eat with awareness. So as I often repeat, al fresco dining is fine if you're outside and you're taking a break from things, but eating at your table with your laptop open, definite no-no. So finally, it's just a bit of a recap of Agni and digestive fire, as is understood by Ayurveda, and how important it is. Your Agni, or your digestive fire, or the whole system of Jatharagni, as we talk about in Ayurveda, is like an engine that powers your body. It breaks down your physical food that you consume for absorption into your body tissues, and we're also used to process and digest our emotional experiences. But you need food for energy, and if you're not digesting properly, your energy will be low. So we need it for coping with the physical demands of life. And a lot of the time, the problem is in the digestion that causes all these other symptoms, particularly this unexplained tiredness and fatigue we experience. So also digestive fire applies to the psychological or the mind-based processing of all thoughts, feelings, emotions that we encounter during the day. So we need to maintain a harmony or a balance of our overall digestive fire and Agni for a foundation. It's a basic foundation for developing vitality, resilience, health, and ultimately longevity, which allows us to lead long, happy, and fulfilled lives. So I'll leave it for that now and come back and speak a little more about the qualities of the mind and how that applies to Ayurveda, and also how it's involved with the digestive fire as well. So see you very shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show Ayurveda, the Science of Life. Today's episode is all about Agni, or digestive fire. And so far, I've discussed the importance of Agni or digestive fire as we understand it in Ayurveda, the different types of digestion we can have depending on our constitution or depending on the imbalance that we currently have at that moment in time. I've discussed some simple tips that you can do to eat in accordance with the daily circadian rhythm, to eat with some awareness, to use herbs and spices in your cooking, to cook with all six tastes, and the importance of good quality sleep for your overall processing and digestive fire of your, particularly your repair of the mind and the psychological process that happens during your sleep, and also there is some detoxifying that goes on within the body, which is also part of your digestion overall. So the concept of our digestive fire extending beyond just simply our meals. And I gave some simple tips that you could do to eat with more awareness. Now, I appreciate there's quite a bit to cover there, but I feel that it's worth repeating and worth recapping what the importance of Agni and the importance of the digestive fire and the wide-ranging definition we have in Ayurveda of digestion. So, in this part of the show, I will discuss what I call the qualities of the mind in terms of Ayurveda. And briefly to recap, I'm going to summarize the philosophy of Ayurveda and yoga, because they're similar philosophies about the universe and how it's represented in our mind. So the universe in Ayurveda is described as being made up of two elements. And one of them is called the Prakriti, which is the illusion of the universe. And another one is called a Purusha, which is the reality. Now, we live in the illusion according to this philosophy or teaching. So in the world we live in, everything is changeable. Whereas in the reality world, or in the Purusha of the universe, this is what's called a reality. And it's the only thing in the element that's unchangeable. And it's represented by our unique self and our soul. You often hear the phrase, your divine self. I feel this is very much the similar concept, that within your natural, divine, unique self is the truism of you and you within the universe. Whereas a lot of the time we live outside of ourselves, if that makes sense. We live an illusion of ourselves. It's not our real self. But this resonates with the idea of what we call your natural constitution and your current state of usually an imbalance of sorts. So if we understand that the ultimate goal in life, according to Ayurveda and the yogic philosophies, is to see beyond our material current life or state that we're in, which this dominates our entire human experience, and to be able to grasp a reality beyond our what we feel is our current reality, which according to the teachings is really an illusion. So if we can do that and almost jump outside of ourselves, we reach a point of ultimate enlightenment according to the Vedic and the Ayurvedic philosophies. And in this term in ancient Sanskrit is called Samdhi, or the reaching the state of bliss. Now, this is a complicated concept, and even I struggle to understand it myself, and absolutely admit that. But if we bear with it for now, we see how it might work when we discuss and explain a little more. So how can we accomplish this? Because the idea in Ayurveda is that you try and attain perfect physical health and remain free from disease, so that you can ultimately contemplate and reflect on these bigger issues beyond your mere existence. But more often than not, we don't get anywhere near that. But this is what we strive to achieve in our lives. This is the goal of our life, the ultimate goal of our life. So how do we accomplish it then? One way to really understand it, we have to conceptualize it. And we conceptualize it in terms of three qualities, or what's called the principles of the mind. In a sense, this is how Ayurveda explains how the mind came to perceive the universe and all the things within it. And these qualities are divided in three, much as the physical doshas are divided in three. And those are sattva, rajas, and tamas. Now, don't worry very much about the strange names, because these are explanations of how the mind is made up within the universe and within us ourselves, in our unique individual self. So these are the basic building blocks of our mind. So in this section, I'll discuss how these qualities affect us, and how even certain foods can affect those qualities expressed within us, and how we can try and harmonize these to become more serene, more spiritual, more balanced in a psychological way, for want of a better expression. So the three gunas are the qualities are as I explained, are sattva, which is as a specific characteristic in each of these qualities, and sattva has the quality of purity and knowledge. Rajas, that quality, has the qualities of activity, motion, and desire, and change. And then tamas, the quality of tamas, is the quality of darkness and destruction. If you can imagine it from a nature scene, sattva is like a lake, a very calm lake on a very clear night with the moon shining and reflecting upon the lake. Rajas is if you threw a rock into the lake and the water is in turmoil and the reflection is disturbed on the surface of the lake, the reflection of the moon in the night sky. And then tamas is if you got a stick and started to stir up the mud at the bottom of the lake, so you would obscure the reflection of the moon and the night sky with the turbulent water underneath, or the turbid and muddy water underneath. So each of these forces or qualities are present within each of us, and they manifest in our reactions to certain situation experiences. But as with the physical doshas or physical qualities that represent us, one is generally more prominent at any particular moment in time. So how do the gunas present within us? They're present in every part of our prakriti, our current state, which is made up of the illusion of the world and all its distractions. They can be seen in the day, in the seasons, in the food we eat, the thoughts and actions that we feel and do. Roughly to say, sattva is the morning time. Rajas are we feel more in the afternoons, we're more mobile, and night time when we sleep brings the tamas feelings of these qualities of our mind, when we're more still. So we can't have a pure sattva without the rajas and tamas, without the motion and the stillness. We can't have a pure rajas without tamas and sattva. So they're all represented in us at all times, each of the three different qualities of the mind. Sattva binds us to attachments with happiness. Rajas connects us to with activities, and tamas is represented by delusion and darkness. As long as we are influenced by one more than the other three gunas, we remain in a kind of a state of bondage, or in a state of fixed in our current state, where we can't take that step forward in contemplation and reflection of the deeper meaning of life and so on. So the gunas affect us very deeply, these qualities of the mind. They influence everything from our thoughts and actions to the habits and the activities and that the things that make us who we actually are. So that means that whatever quality of the mind is more present in you at that moment in time will directly influence how you perceive and see the world. So, for instance, a predominantly tamasic person with darkness and destruction will see everything as negative and destructive. A person who's more sattvic, on the other hand, will have a more positive outlook and find joy and happiness in everything. So, to discuss them in a little more detail, the sattva, that quality of the mind, manifests itself in us as the purity, knowledge and harmony. It is characterized by goodness, joy, satisfaction, nobility and contentment. This quality of the mind allows us to be free of fear, of violence and anger and malice. We think of it as the purest and most forgiving force within us. It's what we all wish and strive to be like, but more often fail. So in order to reach this state of samadhi or final divine bliss in our lives, we need to try and increase this quality as much as possible. So in order to do that, we have to, by definition, reduce the other two qualities within us, which is where we generally are within most of our lives. We're generally fluctuating between the two other qualities, and that's how we live. We rarely get to the other point, but we must continue to strive to do so. So how do I do this then? How can I reach this wonderful place where sattva is the most dominant quality of my mind? Well, there is such a thing as a sattvic type of food. Practicing meditation has been shown to increase the sattva within us. Having a devotional practice, whether it's a prayer, whether it's going to church, whether it's devotion to in any other form, has also been shown to make us feel more of these qualities of sattva. Adopting a non-violent lifestyle as well, there are a few ways you could do this. Surrounding yourself with positive people as well, and activities that bring you and other people joy, is another way to boost this quality within ourselves. And we all can experience this when we have happy events, that we feel more charitable and more kind and more loving and more understanding to other people. In the majority of cases, sometimes it doesn't happen, like at Christmas when people get together. Rajas, this quality of emotion and sometimes agitation, it can be expressed as with the feelings of passion, of action, energy, and motion. And these are all good in the right amounts, but too much is obviously harmful. We have a longing for satisfaction, desire, and it can overwhelm us if it's too strong. If you want to decrease rajas, you avoid consuming rajasic or these types of food, like a pitta type of food, or fried and spicy food, as well as certain stimulants like caffeine and alcohol. Now tamas, the qualities of the mind of tamas, they manifest or they show themselves in us when with the characteristics of impurity, laziness, lethargy, and darkness. It is the consequence of ignorance, and it prevents us from seeing reality. We're almost shuttered in. To decrease the tamas guna, or this quality in your mind, we need to avoid eating tamasic type foods, which are the heavy foods, and overindulging, whether it's in food or in sleep. So we can how can we influence these qualities of our mind? So this is the idea where we can try and develop dietary and lifestyle modifications or habits that will influence these, so that we try and cultivate more of the sattva and less of the other two. So one of the easiest ways of doing this, of course, is through your diet. So to discuss the types of food that can help in this respect, you often hear the phrase, I've mentioned it before, you are what you eat. It means that the quality of what we eat and how we digest and absorb food has a direct impact on how we look, how we feel, how we think, and ultimately our energy levels. And this also applies to the quality of the mind. Ayurvedic diets encourage us to eat highly nutritious sattvic foods, moderate amounts of rajasic foods, and then less of the tamasic or the heavier foods. That's just a general kind of summary of the type of Ayurvedic diet. Though this isn't always the case. In some places, if there's an imbalance, we may need to adjust that for a short period of time while you get back to a natural balance state. So by following these habits and these dietary advice, we can live a healthier and more balanced life, both physically, emotionally, and ultimately spiritually. So sattvic type foods, what kind of foods are these? They generally would be foods that are fresh, whole, and nutritious. Foods like called legumes, which are in the lentil family, and beans and chickpeas, and whole grains, brown rice. If you can cook it, you can add it to salads. Quinoa, oats in the form of oat cakes or porridge oats, barley, which can be put into soup. Anything effectively that lists whole grain in the ingredient packets can be safely eaten as a sattvic food. A good tip with trying to increase it if you're baking is to add half a wholemeal flour to your mixture of white flour. And vegetables and fruits this season are regarded as very sattvic and very, very good to develop that quality in your mind. Rajasic foods, on the other hand, are the agitating types of food. And if you think of pitta again, to reduce this quality in our mind, we need to reduce and try and avoid as much as possible or reduce the amount of spicy foods that we eat. Chilies, peppers, tomatoes, vegetables like onion and garlic are can be thought of as agitating, and in very strict Hindu families, they won't eat onion and garlic at all, or they will at least fast for it on certain days of the week. And then stimulants such as caffeine and alcohol, like I mentioned before. Tamasic foods are foods that give us this quality of lethargy and darkness and dullness. And they're in the kind of the kapha group as well, to avoid fast foods, junk foods, refined foods like white bread, frozen foods or leftovers, and red meats such as lamb and beef. Cheeses, dairy and heavier food generally will have a tamasic effect on our body and mind. So each of these qualities of the mind represent different states within us and feelings, so to speak. Sattva represents this quality of gratitude and wisdom within us. Rajas is more motivated by self-interest and selfishness, and tamas is more all about a negative ego and a negative outlook on life. So, as you can see, the sattva guna is the one that you would wish to be most in that quality of mind. The first thing you need to do is we need to identify which of these qualities is the one that influences the most at the current moment in time. As each of them have their characteristics, we could work out by contemplation, reflection, which of these qualities is foremost in our mind at particular moments in our lives. So sattva has the pure elements, rajas has the elements of activities and the drive for self-benefit, while tamas is more the elements of darkness and destruction and self-harm, so to speak, self-loathing, self-sabotage. So once you've identified your root characteristic or element, with an understanding of Ayurveda and the teachings and principles, you can try and reduce it and take it out of your thoughts, actions and habits so that you become more sattvic in your nature and in your thinking and in your being. So a final thought, so that attaining enlightenment or the state of bliss or samadhi involves liberating ourselves from all these qualities of the mind so that we can see that our lives are merely an illusion, even though, and we need to see beyond our lives so that we're stepping outside of ourselves in that sense. Anybody who manages to do so reaches a state of samadhi. I couldn't put it better than in the words of the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the ancient texts. When one rises above the three gunas, or qualities of the mind, that originate in the body, one is freed from birth, old age, disease and death, and attains enlightenment. Well, thank you for listening to the show. I've really enjoyed putting this show together this week. It's been confusing to maybe go through the qualities of the mind, but it's important to reflect that there is a duality between the qualities of the mind as well as the qualities of the physical doshas, and that we all live between both the rajas, or the agitation state, and the tamas, and the lethargy state. This is what we spend most of our lives within, those two qualities, really always wanting to strive to reach sattva, but not being able to do so, or struggling to do so. And this is where we need to focus our attention from our diet and lifestyle and practices and that we do to, in order to be able to cultivate that more and less of the other two qualities of the mind. And I hope I've explained it in some way for you to understand, at least to provoke some further discussion and thought. So once again, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Ayurveda, as I've said before, is a way of life and living that has a relevance now more than ever in its 5,000 year history. We live in a very challenging world, and the natural world and the environment are under threat. Our nature system, our weather systems and climate also. We, as part of nature, are affected by these things, even if we're not aware of it specifically. We're trying to negotiate the changes in our own lives and our own health problems and issues that we suffer from, and this can also be challenging for us. I think that Ayurveda, and I feel passionately that Ayurveda provides a way or a toolkit for us to be able to manage these external factors that are within our control through our diet and our digestion and our lifestyle habits, routines and practices that I've been talking about over the last number of shows. And this way we can really feel like we're taking control of our health and well-being to live a better, more fulfilled and ultimately more conscious and, shall we say, sattvic life. So tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com. And that's Anam spelled A-N-A-M for Mother Earth. I'm available for consultation via Zoom and by contacting me through my website. Anam, as I said before, is the Irish word for soul. And this episode particularly is involved with issues to do with the soul and the qualities of the sattvic mind. Until then, as we say in Irish, I have two sayings today. Croí Fholáin Fad Saol, a healthy heart, a long life. Or put another way, Maireann Croí Éadrom Ibad, a light heart lives long. Take care and tune in again next week. Thank you.